Come with me into the house of Simon the Pharisee, please, if you will, where we shall see an illustration of this wonderful truth we've been singing of. There is salvation for a lost sinner through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have in this chapter, from verses 36 down through verse 50, three people brought before us. One is a proud-hearted Pharisee, the other a broken-hearted sinner, and then the third, the loving-hearted Savior. These three are brought together in this house. Now, just why it was that Simon had invited the Lord into his house, we are not told. We could well assume that he wanted to find out if he truly was a prophet, such as others thought him to be, and he thought perhaps getting him into his house might give him some insight as to this one who was attracting so much attention, causing so much commotion, and so much talk. In any case, he has him in the house. But now, notice while they're sitting at meat, someone else comes in the house. And who is this? And her entrance has apparently caused such surprise that there is utter silence. Why, certainly, this is that woman that's a sinner. And Simon is undoubtedly taken so much aback by her intrusion that he doesn't raise a protest. What has she got in her hand? What is she doing here? She has a box in her hand, an alabaster box of ointment, or of myrrh. And notice, she's weeping. And she's standing at the feet of Jesus behind him, weeping profusely. What is she doing now? She stops and stoops, and there at his feet, she allows those tears to flow, and she's washing his feet with her tears. Every eye is upon her. Then she takes her hair and dries his feet with her hair. And now the box, that precious, costly ointment that she has, what's she going to do with that? It's a great sacrifice. She's no doubt saved for the greatest event in her life. And now she's going to use it. What's she going to do? We read that she anoints the feet of Jesus after she has kissed them. She anoints them with the ointment. Silence could be seen in that house. Every eye upon him and her. What's it all about? How long it was silent, we are not told. We read, however, there was some thinking going on. And Simon didn't realize that what he was thinking was known to the Lord. But it was. What was he thinking about? Simon, when he saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman that is that toucheth him, for she's a sinner." In fact, it's the only name that she has here. A woman that is a sinner. And I believe that Simon at this point felt that he had the answer to his question, that this one named Jesus was not a prophet. No, he couldn't have been. A prophet would not have allowed such a woman, such as she, to touch him. But Simon is going to find out something he never realized before, and that the one he invited to his house, whose name was Jesus, was more than a prophet. The Lord Jesus could read Simon's mind. And as the psalmist in the 139th Psalm says in connection with the Lord himself, "Thou understandest my thoughts afar off." And Jesus said to Simon, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." This is the first utterance, that which broke the stillness of that wondrous scene in this house. "I have somewhat to say unto thee." Well, he has Simon's attention, and Simon says, "Teacher, say on." The Lord says, "There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. Both of them, you see, were indebted. They had something in common, however. We read in verse 42, when they had nothing to pay. Neither of them could raise the amount necessary to erase the debt. Well, what happened when they had nothing to pay? We read that the creditor frankly forgave them both. Well, what a good creditor it was. And the Spirit of God intends to present to us, dear friend, God Himself in His goodness, as the one who desires to forgive men, those who are unable to pay, those who own their need. Those that come to Him, such as this woman, as we shall see, are those that He frankly forgives. And then He asks the question, tell me, therefore, Simon, which of them will love Him most? And Simon has the answer to this question. He said, I suppose he to whom He forgave most. And the Lord says, thou hast rightly judged. The Lord is seeking to reach Simon here, just as He's seeking to reach you, the listener. Simon was a religious moralist, one who prided himself undoubtedly in his ceremonial keeping, and also the fact that he kept the law and observed the statutes of it, and he was not as the other people are. He certainly was not like this woman that was a sinner. But the Lord wants to reach such. And He says to him, Simon, look at this woman. Seest thou this woman? I want to show you the difference between her and yourself. I entered into thy house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet. It was the common courtesy of the East to provide water for the traveler and for the guest. Simon had not done that. He showed no concern for the Lord. But he says, this woman, she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. She had manifested in her tears a true repentance, that which caused her to come to Jesus. What had brought her there? What had caused the tears to flow? Ah, she was in repentance of her sin. She was a sinner and she knew it, and she wasn't trying to hide it. And she knew, having heard of Jesus and that He was in this house, she came and boldly approached Him. She had a need which she wanted to have met, and she knew that Jesus would meet it for her. And we would assure you, dear listener, that Jesus is the one that would meet your need. He longs to do so. And she comes with gratitude for this which she had found out. Faith in a Savior God is one that caused her to bring her sacrifice, her love, her kiss, her devotion. And she is showing the signs of gratitude in what she brought. Jesus goes on to say, thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint. There was no comfort, such as suggested here, in the ministry of Simon to him. But this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Lo, at His feet she found salvation, and there she poured out all that she had, that which she had saved for the choicest moment of her life, and she poured it out on His feet. Why did she do this? Jesus says, because she loved much. Her sins, Simon, which are many, are forgiven. She loved much. Those that have little forgiven love little. And certainly those that know not forgiveness at all love not at all. Simon, you can take the lesson. And if there's a listener to my voice who is as such a Simon, such as we have here, you might say, well, I'm not such a great sinner. Well, you might be a 50-pence sinner. Maybe you have not gone to the depths of sin as some have. But nevertheless, though there are degrees as to the differences of sin, there is absolutely no difference as to the degree of guilt. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And another thing which this brings out, there is absolutely no difference as to the ability to pay. Whether you've sinned little or sinned much, you still have not in yourself the remedy to remove your sin, to forgive your sin. It cannot be found in you. No man can do it for you. There is only one, and that is the one that we have before us here, the one who is in the house of the proud-hearted Pharisee, the one to whom the broken-hearted sinner has come, the loving-hearted Savior who is God manifest in flesh himself, is the one who has power on earth to forgive sins. And this he evidences, he shows, and he wants you to know, just as he wanted this woman to know. He wanted her to have his word for it. He said unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven." What a wonderful word this is. Thy sins. When she came, she was concerned about her sins, not someone else's. And I trust that you are concerned about your sins and not seeking to point the finger at someone else. What about you? What about your sins? Can you say you know your sins are forgiven? I tell you, dear friend, this Savior, this loving-hearted Savior, wants to speak to you a word of assurance just as he spoke to this woman. Thy sins are forgiven. He is able to do it. There was a miracle that he performed. And he said that he did this miracle that you might know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. There is only one who can forgive sins. Thy sins are forgiven. And that is what no doubt raised the question in the minds of these Pharisees, for there were others in the house with Simon. Because when they heard him say, "Thy sins are forgiven," they asked, "Who is this that forgiveth sins also?" They did not realize that the one in whose company they were was God himself manifest in flesh. For they knew that only God could forgive sins. And God can and God will. He's able to. If you will come and reason together with the Lord, your sins will be forgiven, they'll be washed away. John, in writing in his epistle, he says to the believers in 1 John 2:12, "I write unto you, children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake." To the woman here, the Lord Jesus says, "Thy sins are forgiven." You can know right now whether your sins are forgiven or not. The moment that you come to Jesus Christ as this woman came, believing who he was, and just counting upon him for mercy, and in what she brought, this alabaster box of myrrh suggests, beloved friend, the suffering of Jesus Christ. The myrrh suggests the fragrance of his death, that which avails for the sinner, that which has put away sin, for Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. This is what the picture portrays to us. I'm not saying that the woman entered into all of this, but God, who has written it for you and for me, shows us very clearly that what she brought is a token of the death of Christ upon which she rested for the salvation and the forgiveness of her sins. Thy sins are forgiven. Who is this that forgiveth sins also? Ah, it is God. And he does it on the basis of his finished work at Calvary. Now you notice, the Lord then turns to the woman, and he says, "Thy faith has saved thee, go in peace." What a tremendous amount of comfort and peace and assurance there is in this part of the verse. I want you to notice it carefully. I want you to go over it. It shows us very clearly how this woman was saved, how her sins were forgiven. He said to the woman, and just as he said to the woman, he would say to you today, if you come as this woman. What saved her? I'll tell you what didn't save her. She wasn't saved by her works. She didn't have any. The Pharisee had a lot of works. But he wasn't saved. She had no works. She was not saved by baptism. She was not saved by the Lord's Supper. The Pharisee, he kept the rite of circumcision. He kept the Passover, but he wasn't saved. She was not saved by going to church, so to speak. The Pharisee was very punctual in going to the synagogue, but he wasn't saved. Ah, dear friend, those things can never save. Those things which are good in themselves are not for salvation. They cannot save. It's not by works, the scripture says. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that's what Jesus said to this woman, thy faith hath saved thee. She believed that he was the Savior, or she would never have come. Simon the Pharisee did not believe he was the Savior. He thought that he was perhaps a prophet, but wasn't sure. She came to him in repentance. That's why she was saved. The Pharisee didn't have any repentance, and he was not saved. Oh, beloved here, this is God's way and God's picture for you in this portion. In the house of Simon here, the Pharisee, this woman shows us in her coming to the Lord and what she does here, that there was real faith in him and repentance is what saved her. Thy faith hath saved thee. Salvation is a present possession because it implies an acceptance of a person. He is salvation, and it includes the blessing of forgiveness of sins. How can you have your sins forgiven? Listen to the word in Acts 10:43. To him give all the prophets witness, that whosoever believeth in him shall receive forgiveness of sins. Will you believe? Will you, like this woman, believe? Will you come? Oh, her tears didn't save her. No. Washing his feet didn't save her. No. Wiping his feet with her hair didn't save her. Her kisses didn't save her. No. And the alabaster box of ointment didn't save her. No. But they were evidences of a true, real faith that she had. All this is what follows salvation. And it shows that she had genuine faith and genuine repentance in this loving-hearted Savior. Do you know him? I trust that today, having come to the house of Simon the Pharisee, you will have learned the lesson which I trust he learned. That is, that the one in the midst is the Son of God, who alone has power and a desire to forgive your sins on the basis of his work at Calvary and on the principle of your repentance and faith in him.